Okay, we are back here in the Talmud Devarim Perek Beis. It's page 38 or Daf Lamed Ches in the standard Talmud Devarim. The Talmud Devarim now comes down to basically sort of like summarizing the foundation of which midos one therefore should concentrate, and as a result one builds from there. And you'll find out that the Talmud Devarim, although he spoke many, many times about the importance of the midah of anova, humbleness, modesty, but you see to the great extent it is the ideal onov, and the great madregas that one is able to achieve through the medium of anova, because anova, according to the Talmud Devarim, is the foundation on what you build all of the other midahs. This is like the root midah of all the midahs. And he says, therefore, as follows. Lefichach, he says, therefore, Tzoro kol odom lahar gil atzmoi, he says, be'elu hamidois ma'at ma'at. A person has to try to accustom himself in the various midos and the qualities that he mentioned above, the various qualities, he says, little by little. This, by the way, is a very important statement. The Talmud Devarim says that a person is supposed to accustom himself to acquire qualities, he says, ma'at ma'at. One does not realize how important that is, because many times people like to jump immediately and try to make drastic changes in their lives. Trying to do that will not last very long. It does not have a cue. One will not achieve success immediately trying to make a complete turnaround, but rather one has to work at it. In the same way that one climbs a ladder, you can't just climb to the top unless you go step by step, rung over rung. And in fact, these words that the Talmud Devarim says over here, that ma'at ma'at, the person should accustom himself. Ma'at ma'at, that point means is you have to work at it. It's not something that's just going to happen. But a person has to work at it, and you work at it little by little, to continuously always grow a little more in acquiring better midos and better qualities. Just to point out that in fact, that the Goyin in Mishle, that the Goyin in Mishle Perek Yutes, brings the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Habol Tahir Misai Noisoi. So we have a Haftorah from Chazal that someone really who is interested in purifying himself can expect to have Siyata Dishmaya. They're going to help him from Shemayim. Bol Tahir, someone who's coming to purify himself. Misai Noisoi, they help him. So the Goyin says, how come many times it doesn't seem to work that way? It seems many times people have good intentions, and yet they somehow don't have the schus, and they don't see the siyata d'shmaya. What happened? So the Goyin says as follows. L'pomim, he says, Odo matchil ilmoy toyre v'lasois mitzvahs. Many times a person begins to learn toyre and to do mitzvahs. V'achakach, he says, poyrish. And then he stops because he finds it too difficult. Somehow he does not seem to receive that extra push, does not seem to acquire the siyata d'shmaya. Machmas kosheloy moid. Why is it difficult? Lefisha ain misayin loy, because this person is not somehow privileged to have the siyata d'shamayim, and therefore v'zoyef al Hashem, he sort of like complains and he argues against the Rabbeinu Shalom. Lomaloy sayu, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, why don't you help me? I was told that habol etayim misayin loy, that someone who's interested to purify himself will be zoyechet to help in the shamayim. How come I was not zoyechet to help? Says the Goyim, Behemoth, the truth is, Machmas Ivaltoi. It's because it's own fault. Don't blame the Rabbeinu Shalom. Don't blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the fault? Why was he talking at Zoyche to Siyata Dishmaya? Says the Goyim, Behainu, Ki Kolodom Tzorech Leilech Lefi Madrigosoi. Yes, Habol Etayer. But you have to take baby steps according to your Madrege. Person's a higher Madrege, can start it a little higher, can take wider steps. Person a lower Madrege, you take lower steps, smaller steps. V'layikvoitz, not to jump, not to try to jump too far ahead. V'oz yelach lebetach b'darkoi, says the Goyin. Then he can go assured, secure in his way. Ki yisayu, they're going to help him. Avzeh ha'odom, however, this person, v'hischalelach b'darkoi, but this person didn't really go in the path that he really should be going. Lekach l'sayu, he's not going to get help. Because he's going, for him it's the wrong road. This is not the right path. So this really, again, the very few words that Talmud Devarim is saying is making this point. A person has to work on himself, accustom himself, to try to do it little by little. in order to be able to enjoy success. What is the main midah that a person should try to grasp? You can't grasp everything all of a sudden. Can't do everything. So which should you focus on? Right? Which should you try to really take hold of? So he says, which is the midah which is really the key to all of them? The Medvarah tells us that this particular midah, this is ha'anova, humility. Humility really is the key. That is the root of all of the midahs. And therefore you try to grasp and to work on that midah. Mipnei shehi roish lukulan. Because this is really the highest, this is Bechina Rishayna Bekeser. It is really the highest in the aspect of Keser. Remember, Keser is the highest Madrega. In the same way that the crown, of course, is on top, above the head even. The head is the highest portion of the person's body, and the Keser, the crown, is even above the head. So of all of the Midos, the highest in the quality of the Midos, the Bechina Rishayna, right, the highest aspect of all of the Midos is Anova. V'tachteho yuchlal hakoil. And all others really are included, which are below it and are all included. So really, anova is really something that a person should really focus on. And of course, as he says, you do it ma'at ma'at, but a person should really work on the midah of anova. And he's not finished yet to describe to you what really is the ideal midah of anova. Because we're being told to work on the midah of anova. How far is anova? How far can a person go? How much can a person really work to continuously and be successful ultimately in anova? What is considered to be the highest point in anova? Continues now the Talmud Varni tells us. I want you to know, he says, that the hinei ikar hanova hu, says the primary, he says, aspect of anova is shloyimtza be'atzmoy erech klal. He said, I mean, that's the highest madrega. Not so easy to reach, where a person really does not find himself valuable. Now, it doesn't mean that a person should have any self-esteem. That does not mean that. But it means a person should recognize himself, as we're going to soon explain, in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in relation to the idea that he considers himself to be above other people, that other people therefore have to bow to him, have to bend to him, he should not view himself in that way. He is here for a function, he's here for a purpose. But a person should consider himself ke'ayin, like nothing. Ukimama ha'onov, as we find, who is the greatest onov that the Torah describes as Moshe Rabbeinu, and what was the lotion? What in fact was the lotion Moshe Rabbeinu used? He said, V'nachnu mo kisalinu aleinu. That was the lotion when the Eden came to complain. And that's the Parshas Hamon. They don't have enough food and so on and so forth. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, who are we? Who are we that you actually argue against us? And the lotion was, V'nachnu mo. What are we worth? What are we that you complain? Mo means nothing. V'nachnu mo. This is the lotion Moshe Rabbeinu says. Achiyah, a person works on himself, says the Talmud of the Torah. Achiyah who? He works on himself till he comes really to a point. He works on himself till he comes to a point. Achiyahu be'enav haberya hashifola. Listen to this. Shebechola nevroim. He works upon himself that he deems himself to be the lowest of creatures. Ubozo yomosu moed. Someone really who is, he says to himself, I'm really someone who is, in a sense that he views himself in a matzav of bizoyim, in a matzav of loathsome, as he points out. Let me tell you, when the Talmud Dvar says that anova is the mafteach, is the key, humility is the key to everything, everything in the Talmud Dvar says, if you know a little bit, you look a little bit around Shas, you'll find there's always sources. And a matter of fact, when he talks about the primary level, the primary role in Midos that anova occupies, if you take a look at Masechtos Avodah Zarah Daf Chof Amud Beis, listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says now by the Zohar Daf Chof, Omer Rav Shua ben Levi, Anova Gedoyle Mikulon. So in fact, it's the Gemara. Of all the various midos, of all the various attributes and characteristics, the Gemara says Anova is Gedoyle Mikulon, and it brings a raya from a posik because it talks when Mashiach will come. Who will be really those, the first to be able to hear the footsteps of Mashiach? So the posik says that Ruach Hashem Olai. It says, he'll come to be levaser, he'll come to bring good news to whom? Anovim. Says the Gemara, chasidim leinemar. It doesn't say chasidim. Or people who are great in Madrega simply in Avodas Hashem. It talks about the quality of anova. This is being emphasized. It says, elo anova. Holomarato sha anova gedoilo. That anova, in fact, is the greatest of all the midos. So this is the nekuda that the Talmud Dvar tells us. Therefore, when you're working on yourself, try to grasp hold and work on the midah of anova. Of course, again, ma'at mat. You take it step by step, and in fact, go little by little. It's good to point out that when the Torah Dvar said that Anova is the Rosh Lekulon and everything else is underneath, everything underneath is Nichlal, is included in Anova. It's like the seed. If you have Anova, then out of that can branch out all the other Midos Tovos from Anova. So it's good to point out what Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in his Sefer Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos. He writes in Perek Aleph, and I want to quote you a Lashon which is an incredible Lashon that he says. And look at the Lashon Reb Chaim Volozhiner says. He says, "V'ho'inyan kal yedei hu anova, through the mid of anova," says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, "zoiche ha'odom," he says, "hakoil." If you're able to acquire midas anova, then you already have the key to be able to acquire it. Not that you are on the road now to be able to achieve all the other midas as well. If you have the mid of anova, then in fact you now have the means, you have the wherewithal, you have already the ingredients to be able to achieve and to have success in the other midas as well. Ukemoi Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem, Shoy Adoin HaNaviyim, he was the master of all of the prophets, Va'ava HaChomim, and yet what is he described? He's not praised with all of the other milas, all the tremendous qualities that Moshe Rabbeinu possesses. What does the Torah praise him with? L'nishtabeach ele banova. Moshe Rabbeinu was praised not with his chokhmah and not with anything else, only with his anova. V'chol ma shezocha. And in fact, how is Moshe zoicha to the other qualities to be the greatest chokhmah, to be the greatest novi? Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it was because of his anova. So in fact, anova was really the key to all of the other milas that Moshe Rabbeinu possessed as being the Rabban Shel Yisrael, as being the greatest of all time, whether it's in Nebuah, whether it's in Chochmah. And then look what he says. Here's the line. It's an incredible line. It says, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and only he could say that. Who could take the achrayus to say this? He says, "Ve'ilu hoy achshav odom onov kemoshe," if he would have today, in our generation, even in our generation, if he would have a person who is an onov like Moshe, who yavada zoiche l'toyre b'shleimus, who bizoiche to everything else also b'shleimus. Bizoiche to everything b'shleimus. So the reason we don't have that kind of greatness, we have an idea, hasoget, what a Moshe Rabbeinu is, the basis is anova. Had we had the mila of anova, if anyone would have had this madrega of anova, then you would have had also, you would have had the similar dargish, shleimus atoyre, that one can talk about a Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu like qualities in Chokhmah and the other aspects. So this is clearly a tremendous yisoid here, and of course therefore with the words of the Talmud Vayis says, it's quite clear that the Anova becomes the Mafteach of HaKoil, becomes the Mafteach for everything. Now we go further in the Talmud Vayis, he points out and says the Lashon which we just want to explain over here, he says that a person works on himself that he feels or he imagines himself to be, that he deems himself to be the lowest of creatures. Now the lowest of creatures means he's even below Balachayim than stam creatures. In other words, he is sort of like, he's even lower than those that are subhuman, he's even lower than animals, cows, horses, and all that stuff. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean that he is the lowest? What does the Talmud Dvar mean that he should deem himself to be the lowest of creatures, shebechol anivroim, which means even from stam Balachayim? What does that mean? The Oimek HaKavona, as some suggest, what the Talmud Dvar means, because although man on the one hand has the potential to be the greatest because he is the direct creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, man is the only living being that was created directly. All the other animals, of course, are animals. Man is the Tzir Kapoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but however man realizes, but when he sins, he is lower, because animals don't sin. Animals are created and that's the way they are. They do and behave the way nature dictates. They don't have any yetzer haras, they don't have no evil inclinations. They are what they are, and that's what they are. But man, because of his intellect, has the potential and the power to do the right thing. If he's taught what the right thing is, if he knows what the right thing is, so then he has the potential to be the greatest. Ad kedei kach, that in fact he can even reach madregas because of his challenge even higher than malochim. He can be higher than angels. But the same token, the flip side is he can be lower than any creature through sin, because he has the ability to sin. And that's what he means to say, that a person thinks of himself in that way because he knows how far he is left owing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being created and giving him all the opportunities, and he finds himself lacking and dragging so far behind. So points out the Torah, the Baruch, and he goes further and he says, Bekasher, he says, Yiga tomid lahasig hamida azois. If a person, in fact, will strive and work to achieve the quality of humility, then kol shar hamidois nigrorois achreho. He'll find all of the other midos, he says, that they will be drawn after it. So what he's saying is that midos, which every midos, of course, is an avoided to attain and to achieve, but if you have anova, it makes it all that much easier. Because with the medium of anova, you already have the sort of like the magnet, that force which will attract all the other midos toivos to go along with anova. So one cannot say anymore regarding how much he's emphasizing how important is the role of anova. And he goes on to say, Sharei HaKeser, because Keser again, which is the highest, most quality that we always talk about when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk about the midah of Keser, the crown. Hamidah HaRishoyin HaShaboy, Shenira Atzmoy La'ayin Lifnei Matziloi. A person considers himself nothing next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who basically shines upon him and bestows everything upon him. Kach Yosei Me'odam Atzmoy Ayin Mamish Ve'yachshev He'edroi Toiv Moed V'Namatzis. A person, when he evaluates his behavior, he thinks of himself that possibly his absence would be better than existing. And in fact, the Gemara has a philosophical discussion between Bishamai and Bishilu. The Gemara says that 2.5 years, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, 2.5 years, Tei Shonim Umechso, Bishamai and Bishilu argued, is it better, at the end of the day, was it better that man was created? Or was it better that man really was not created? And the Gemara says they came to a conclusion, you know what, it seems to be a losing proposition, because most people, they leave this world, for them the world was a bad investment. They were not so successful in being able to do and fulfill the mission that they were supposed to have done. So this is what he points out. The idea is, the greater the tzaddik, the more that he does, the closer you come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more he realizes how far he is. Because the closer you come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you recognize the greatness of Hashem. The more you recognize the greatness of Hashem, you recognize your own mortality and your own lowliness. So therefore, tzaddikim always, the greater they are, they feel they have done so little. People who are the less of tzaddikim, they think they did so much. They did something. They give their Baruch Hu 20 minutes a day. They think, oh, I already did my share for today. And tzaddikim, on the other hand, as much as they do, whether it's 10 hours a day, whether it's 15 hours a day, or it would be a 24-hour day, they find themselves so far lagging behind, because they truly recognize, due to the closeness to Hashem, they recognize in fact how far they are and how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves to be served. This is the godless of tzaddikim, of course. Therefore, he says, the ultimate madrega and anova. This seems almost superhuman. Look what he says. The ultimate madrega and anova, that you come to a point where those that embarrass you, that you treat them as if they were right. You treat them that way. In other words, the idea is that you simply disregard it. And your attitude towards those who have embarrassed you is kilo hadin emohem. Of course, this is the ultimate madrega and anova. The people are embarrassing you, and you treat them as if they, in fact, if they are right. And you, who are the victim, as if that you were the one at fault. Ultimately, the more that a person acquires the midah of anova, that becomes now the stepping stone to acquire all of the other midahs as well. So again, we see here from the term of the verb very clearly, the midah of anova being the roish lekulam, and that basically is the yisoid of all, that is the key, that's the mafteach in acquiring all of the other midos. So go a little further before we take a look at the sheet. So we can move on. And he says, Vani motzosi trufa. Tamdori says, I found really a refuah. I found like a medicine. I found the remedy, lahargil hodam atzmoi, bedvar melu matmat. I found some aitzes. I can give people some advice, practical advice, where people would be able to accustom themselves to doing this little by little. And as a result of following these eitzes, that he says, if a person follows these eitzes, he's going to give you three eitzes. If a person follows any of these three eitzes, certainly all of them, you should try. But upon him, these three eitzes, a person, he says, Epsher Shisrapit Bob Mechoyle Hagavo. By going through these three eitzes, possibly a person will be able to cure himself, he says, of this disease called gaiva, arrogance, haughtiness, the Yikoneid Bishar Vanova, and will be able to enter the gates of humility. And the who tach boishes, what I'm going to give you, he says, is sort of like a band-aid. I'm going to give you a bandage, but it has medicine in it. And there's three types of medicines, three types of bandages, or three types of medications. Hanasa mishloisha samim. The three samim, the three medicines, are going to be the three etzes, the three pieces of advice how a person should be able to cure himself, what he calls the disease, the chayle hagava, the disease of gaiva. And he says as follows, a rishayna. The first thing is, a person should first, he says, should accustom himself to basically to flee from COVID. Don't be there to accept honor. Try as much as possible, try to avoid honor. A person should be a bereach ma'COVID as much as possible. Sometimes you're caught up in a situation, you just can't. But that's why he says, koma sheyuchal, as much as possible. Because a person who is accustomed to accepting honors by other people, you know what that means? That itself becomes a training ground to pursue honor. First you start out to accepting honor, then now you become accustomed to honor, now you need it, now it becomes something that you are looking for, and then you are going to even pursue it. Because if a person accustoms himself, allowing himself to be honored by other people, eventually he's going to acquire this, becomes a habit, outside hagaiva, he'll become arrogant, he's going to demand it, he's going to want it, he's going to expect it, he believes he always deserves it, not anybody else, he deserves it. The Yisratze HaTeva Tov Nebikach, he becomes second nature to him, he always needs honor, it becomes a disease, becomes an addiction to him. Once that happens, when one is addicted to honor, with great difficulty you'll be able to be healed. It's a sickness. A person needs it. He has to continuously feed his ego. So the idea is, a person, again, little by little, try to avoid honor. That's the first etzah that he says. That in a way that a person thereby comes to cure himself from the choyli hagavo and to acquire midas hanova. Hashniot, the second etzah he says is, a person should not only focus on his mailos, he should look also at his chesroinus. Some people just walk around thinking that they are perfect. They are delusing themselves. They're delusional. A person should recognize, he said, you recognize your faults, and really look into yourself and to admit to yourself, you know what, this is a fault, and I have this fault, and I have that fault. The Yoiman, he says, what happens is, when people give you honor, you really should focus and say to yourself, they are giving me honor because they don't know the true me. I know the true me. I know I really don't deserve it. They don't know. They only see the outside of me. I know the inside of me. This is what the Talmud of Devarim points out. That you say to yourself, although people don't really know that my lowliness, people don't know my negativity. So mali mizeh, he says, so what does that mean? Just because people don't know doesn't make it a reality. Because people create a false image of what I am, that doesn't make it true. They are making a mistake. But I, should I not recognize? Don't I recognize my true self? That I have so many different weaknesses or shameful acts that I really should be ashamed of? I know the truth. In beheder hayedia, he says, and he goes down further, and he says, a person says to himself, don't you realize, he says, don't you realize that you should have knowledge? He says, v'chushes hayecholus, I know that my power is really limited. I know my ability is not as strong as other people perceive it to be. I know the truth. What about bizoyen hamachol b'haperish hayotzi memeni? A person just realizes the way he eats, and then all that waste which is excreted from his body. You realize what a human being is, unless a person really serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which therefore elevates the goof. You recognize what the human body is all about, how a person eats, and look what happens, the food, and what is excreted from the body. Until he realizes that really a human being per se, there is nothing really that you should have gaiva for. You realize that you have a mission, you have a shlichus to carry out and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the nekudah. Now if you talk about, he says, There's a weak point that the Torah Mevorah points out that a person should observe, that the human body that he eats and excretes waste, he says, even though everyone is like that, so why should he think of himself? He thinks of himself as being lowly. Well, all human beings are that way. So why should he be more onuf than anybody else? Why should he view himself as an onuf? Right? In relation to other people have the exact same teva. But the Nekuda was trying to point out is because Metchilus Abriya, when Hashem created man for the first time before man sinned, it really was not necessary. People didn't have to go to the bathroom. Of the drastic changes that happened after Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, we always think of one thing, and that is that Nisa came into the world. If not for Adam Rishon's hate, nobody would have died. Adam Rishon, because he sinned, therefore he brought Nisa into the world. We also know that Bezeya Sapecha Toichalechem, that because of the hate of Adam Rishon, now we have to work hard for a living. Otherwise, everything was just perfect. You didn't have to work for anything. Kadosh Baruch Hu provided, things were just growing on trees. Things came out of the ground automatically, naturally. And you didn't have to work until the soil. You didn't have to do anything. But in addition to that, the way we ate also was different. The Ramban tells us this in Bereishis Beis Yud Zayim, that the Paris of Gan Eden, hoyu nevloim betoichoi v'lo hoyu moitzi shum psoilis. Or the Mauritian calls man, he was in Gan Eden, in eating. In Gan Eden, that was before the chait, there was no waste being excreted. So all of that, that we find the way the human body functions now is because we have sinned. That is what a person should take into perspective. That is what happened. So we are the cause of this particular nature that we find ourselves in at this particular time. And then finally he says, Hashlishis, Sheyachshav al Abenoisav Tomit, a person should always be aware of his averis and therefore strive to purify himself. The goal of a person continuously should always be to purify himself. Tomid, the year to betahara, betoichachas, the yisurim. A person should be interested of someone giving him what's called positive criticism. People usually don't like that. But again, this is all part because that's the chelik of the gaiva that the person has with himself. How can he be not perfect that somebody criticizes him? But in fact, if a person really wants to correct himself, a person really wants to rectify himself, it is toichachas, which is rebuke, and also yisurim, which is affliction. Affliction atones. Now, what does affliction mean? So what am I going to do? I'm going to take a pin and start sticking it into my hand? What does that mean? Ve'yoymar. A person says to himself, Mohem ha-yisurim ha-yoyse toivim shebe'olam. A person makes a cheshbon. A person makes a cheshbon himself, and he says, of all the yisurim in the world, if I had a choice, because yisurim serves a positive purpose to purify a person from his averis. So if I have a choice to choose yisurim, what kind of yisurim? I don't want any yisurim. Which person wants yisurim? So what kind of yisurim would you choose? What are the best kind of yisurim, which means that go a long way and don't really put you into bed. It doesn't really hold you back from doing the things that you want to do. And yet you have yisurim which serve as a kapara. What kind of yisurim? So the term of the world, I'll tell you. The kind of yisurim that don't have side effects, and yet they are yisurim that achieve that goal of kaporas avoinis. You know what kind of yisurim? He says like this: V'yoyimah, you say to yourself, Mohem ha-yisurim ha-yoyse toivim shebi'olam. What are the yisurim which are the best kind of yisurim? Which type of suffering is the best? Shelo yatriduni ma'avoydas Hashem. Normal yisurim, if they are real yisurim, that basically stands in the way and they distract him from Avodas Hashem. You cannot daven the way you want to daven. You can't make a bracha in the proper way. Your mind is not up to learning. A person who has a headache, you can't learn. A person who has yisurim has tremendous pain, he can't function. So what kind of yisurim on the one hand will be yisurim and yet at the same time it will not distract him from Avodas Hashem? What kind of yisurim? So he says, Ein chaviv bikulam. He says, Me'elo she'yachar fuhu v'yivazu v'igad fuhu. He says, the best kind of yisurim that we don't have any side effects is if someone found himself that he was embarrassed by something. That kind of yisurim is the yisurim, nothing physically really is taken away from him, but the pain, the psychological pain that he felt for the moment is something that will serve as kaporas avoinis, and yet at the same time he still physically is able to continue and do what he has to do. Because this type of yisurim do not take away his power nor his strength. This is not real illness. It will not block his ability to eat and from wearing his clothing. It will not cause his losing his children during his lifetime. imkein mamish yachpois behem. A person should actually says desire these kind of yisurim. Now, the times bizyoinis is a matone. People don't look at it that way. This is a madrege. Bizyoinis is a matone. V'yoymar. And you say to yourself, mali lehisanois. Why should I have to fast? Many people for kaboros avoinis they're going to fast, right? And fasting has, of course, has its milus, sure. But you say to yourself, why should I fast? If I'm going to fast, you know what that means? It means I'm going to be weak. The day that I'm fasting, I can't learn the way I should be learning. I will not be able to do the mitzvahs the way I would normally be able to do. My davening is not the way. He says, what am I going to really gain? He says, by afflicting myself, he says, with yisurim, with pain, and wearing sackcloth. These are examples just. And I'm doing it to myself by fasting. It would be better. Would be better to be afflicted by being, let's say, scorned by someone, right? Which will not weaken his power and so on and so forth. He will not become weak. He reaches a madrega that he will actually even desire them because he knows the tremendous gain that one gets out of that. In other words, you always weigh the risk factor and the benefit. Person says to himself, right? If the risk is not that great, right? Or even if the risk is, but the benefits are so much more, people risk things, whether it's in the world of business. The same thing is in the world of healing, refuah, operations. Sometimes operation is a risk. But you say to yourself, the operation might be a risk, but the benefit that I stand to gain is saving my life, or to gain so much more. So if the benefit outweighs the risk, he says, it's not a great simcha normally for a person to wait to be embarrassed, but the schar in the Olam HaEmes, the schar, the benefit that a person gains from this, from going through this experience, this bezoindig experience, he should actually be happy. And a person therefore should take these three medications. He says, they should be like a bandage. It should be like a bandage or a salve, it says, to his heart. Now, this should be really absorbed by his heart, and he should live with these hashkofis. And as a result, he says, this is the approach throughout his life that he should live with. So here, as you see from here, as he talks about the tremendous chashivis, he says, how much one gains, he says, bizyonis. So I want to tell you something. The Ramak had a Talmud, was known by the name of Rav Avrom Galanty. Rav Avrom Galanty was one of the tremendous tzaddikim, and he wrote a sefer which is called Kinas Torim. And there's a posik that says, Yitain lemakei ulechi. It's an interesting posik. You give your cheek to the one who hits you. You hear that? You give your cheek. Yitain lemakei ulechi. You give your cheek to the one who hits you. Says Rav Avrom Galanty, and he says as follows. He says, Kemo isho yamargila bepume demoirizal. As my Rebbe the Ramak used to say, my Rebbe the Talmud Devar used to say, Shoyu Oimer, my Rebbe used to say, Shebechol HaTshuva Shebeoilom, from all the different ways of doing tshuva, the many ways of doing tshuva, of all the different tshuvas, HaMe'ula Shebekulam, the one that's most, he says, the one that's most beneficial, he says, L'marek HaChatois, the one that could achieve the most of wiping away your averis, which kind of tshuva is most beneficial in removing the best way, removing to the greatest extent all of your averis, has doinois vapshoim, sevilas ol boinus, tolerating, he says, embarrassment. Vachirufim, vagidufim, vehim ule yoiser mikol malchius, more than any malchius that one, flogging or any type of pain that one, right, would suffer, he says, suffering, embarrassment, he says, can bring you more reward in order to achieve kaporas avodis more than any of the other types of affliction, he says. And he goes on further to say the same idea that we saw now in the Ramak. He's a Talmud of the Ramak of Ram Galanti. Because if a person afflicts himself physically in many ways, he's going to become weak. He'll be mevatel medivrei Torah and so on and so forth. And by the way, then he's called a chayte. He's even called a sinner because he's doing things to himself which stands in the way of his avodis Hashem. That's not good. And therefore he says, but the best way, he says, is the idea. He says, the truth is, you go to a person and say, Yisurim, wipe away a person's averis. You go up to a person, give a number of examples. He says, what kind of Yisurim would you like? Would you like Chazal Shalom, you say to the person, a heart attack? Of course not. He says, would you like to suffer 104 degrees temperature? He says, no, I don't want that. And anything you can ask him, he says, I don't want it. I don't want this, I don't want that. So what kind of Yisurim do you want in order to achieve Kaparas Avoinus? So he says, the kind, ha'etza ha'yutza is, he says, yizba becherpa, to take and to tolerate, he says, any type of bizyonis, because that achieves tremendous in terms of kaparas avoinis. To the extent that we saw the term of devoid, I want you to even be happy if that happens. Now that's a madrega to reach, of course, but at least we have an idea of how great tzaddikim, how far we talk about refinement of midos, how far, to what extreme. When we talk about, you know, in the secular world, you know, what we call ethics, all types of situations. But when you see, coming from the world of Musar, you find out that how far reaching, what's called ethical, when there's no end in terms of refinement and to purify a person to these levels, to these high, high extreme levels, from our vantage point where we stand. But this is, again, this is what elevates Sayyid, that what makes Sayyid so special. And because he is an extension, he has an neshama, and he's a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore he is endowed with the abilities to be able to do it, but you have to work at it. And that's the nekudah. Let's take a look, Rabbi Yisrael, a little bit at the sheet over here. Let's take a look. What I'm going to do here, to save time here, let's take a look at number two. We skip the first item, which is the Meshech Chochmah. Something really once mentioned, this Meshech Chochmah, in Parsha Shemois, Gimel, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, but we're going to leave that. Let's take a look here. Some of the words of Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Rabbi Yankiv Emden, of course, was one of the great Goyim, right, who lived in the 1700s. Rabbi Yankiv Emden, as you know, he was born in Hamburg, and that's where he lived for many, many years of his life. In the interim also, he lived in Amsterdam, he lived in other Mekomis as well, but ultimately also he came back to Hamburg, and he was a man with a lot of controversy, but he was a goyin in all aspects, in Nigla and in Ister, was a great Baal Mekubal as well, and highly respected by all of his peers. He did not occupy a rabbinical position. Matter of fact, he was involved in business. However, he was a very poor businessman. He was not matzliach at all in business. Everything that he tried, he was not matzliach in. He tried to do he worked in diamonds and he worked with furs in different situations. He was always taken for a ride, and he lost his money. And the people who owed him money, he tried to collect it, and he was not successful in business. He devoted his life to learning, and that, of course, he was extremely, extremely successful. He wrote many, many svarim, and of course, we have the Siddur of Yankiv Emden, which is very, very popular. There's a lot of things in the Siddur, not only halachas, there's also a lot of Kabbalah in the Siddur of Yankiv Emden, and which is used to this day to find out a lot of the secrets in tefillah that one will not see on the surface, but you learn from Yankiv Emden. Yankiv Emden, who is known as the Yaivitz, he wrote a pirish also called Lechem Shomayim on Pirkei Avos. And he writes as follows. Listen, this is his own words. He writes, Teisali. He said, I should have this chus. This chus should stand by my side. Koisev Rabbi Yankiv Emden. The reason it's called Rabbi Yankiv Emden, Emden was a city in Germany. For a very brief period, he was a Rav. He was like thrown onto his lap and they didn't want to let him leave. So in Germany, which is a city which is called Emden, he was there just for a few years. That was it, most of his life. And from then on, before that and after that, he did not occupy any official office, no rabbinical position of any kind. But that name stuck to him, being that he was a Rav for that short period of time in the city of Emden. So he's called Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Okay. So he writes as follows in his Hagoyis Lepir Sharambam al Mishnayis. Look what he writes. Shebo Masa Leyodi. Rabbi Yankiv Emden writes, a Maise happened Me'echob Nebnei Bris. Echob Nebnei Bris means a Yid. He says it wasn't a non-Jew, it was from a Yid. Bozui b'shoful moed. How he describes this Yid. This Yid, he says, was a bozui b'shoful. He's a very lowly person, he says. Mipchusei ha-hamoin. The lowliest, he says, of people. And that low person, shekololani kololo nimbretzis. And he started cursing. Yankiv Emden said that this low person, not chungi shepetin. You find that, yapsa pega, at the chungi shepet. And he started cursing him and cursing him. Vehir bela hachli mulevazoisi. And he began to embarrass and to shame me bidvarim koshim umarim, with harsh and bitter words. Harsh and bitter words. Curses, embarrassing words, bitter words. Not only that, Vomar, you know what else that person said? That person said to Rabbi Yankiv Emden, Shemutter umitzvah lenatek meyai mikirbai. That man said, obviously there's something wrong with him. He said to Rabbi Yankiv Emden, we have mitzvah to cut open your stomach and to remove all of your kishkis, to take your intestines out. He said, he wasn't satisfied until he even said that. He says, in other words, it would be a mitzvah to cut you up into pieces. That's what he said to Rabbi Yankiv Emden. And v'lachtoich mibsari ritzuis. And to cut strips from my flesh, to cut it away, to make strips out of it. Vadayin, he says, Lo yesh beze dai lefi maisai. And then he said, even if I did that Yid said to him, it would not be enough. If I did all this to you, I still didn't do enough to you. This is the high level of bizyoinus that this person extended to Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, what's the interesting thing is, he did and said all these terrible things, even though I never even knew that person. I never even had anything to do with him. And I never saw him before. He said, Im shalo yasisalo im uma rami yomai. I never did anything bad to him. Lo ikatim yoylam. I never knew even that person. Ukezeh kezeh omar vikilaloi. And this kind of things, this is what he said in his curses. Ach, listen what he says. Ach, however, lo hispa'alti klal mizeh. I was not nispoil. I did not react. I did not answer him back. V'nanesi l'roshi. I like nodded my head. I said, yeah, you're right. As if to say, you're right. I shook my head. Gamdamtiv l'chus. I also judged him favorably. Probably something is bothering him. He must be having a terrible time in his life. He must be going through very, he has a lot of troubles. And therefore he's letting it out. He has to let it out somewhere. So I happen to be, no, the victim. And his point of outlet, he says. Omarti says, Lefi machshavtoi, I said, according to his machshove, according to the way he's thinking, he believes he's doing right. So in his mind, he thinks he's doing the right thing. This is the way I judged him favorably. Lefi demyoinei hamute. Through his false, right? Through his false imagination. Huta loy domi, my blood is to be hefker, according in his mind, and according to what he believes, so that's what he's doing. So he's really acting only that which he really believes to be true. Umachalti loy, he says, I was moichelin. However, he says, Ach, avinoisov yilkeduhu lemikzas, this is it's missing here. He said, the end result was, he got a punishment from Shemayim. He said, the end result was, that in fact is, he got his punishment in Shemayim, and a lot of suffering came upon him, Rabbi Yankiv Emden writes, but it's not because I wished it upon him. As a matter of fact, I was moichelin, but it seems that Shemayim didn't want to accept the mechila, and Shemayim felt that person deserves to get what he gets for doing all of these things. But this is exactly the hanhoge that the Talmud Devar is talking about. Here we have it, the ploil. Here we have it in action. We have here Rabbi Yankiv Emden actually relating a maitse shohoyah, and we see how he reacted. So this is, we see that, in fact, that there are great people, in fact, who are zeicher to that. Similar to that, which really follows on those heels, we go to the left side at the top of the sheet number 3, and you see now Rabbi Yankiv Emden was an achrit, right? Lived in the 1700s. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yankiv Emden was nifter 1776. That was his year. Now, the Rambam, of course, going back in Pirush Mishnayis Mesech Desovis Perik Dalet, look at the Rambam writes. Now this is the Rambam writing. So the Rambam Ukvaro Isi B'Sefer Misifrei Hamidois. He doesn't name the Sefer. I saw in a particular Sefer, a Sefer of Midois, a Sefer of Ethics, Shenishal Echod Min HaChashuvim HaChasidim. The Sefer writes, they once asked one of the most pious people. One of the most pious people, one of the great Chasidim, were asked, V'Nam Aloi, tell me, Eze Yoim Hu Shesamachta Bo Yoise Mikol Yom Echod. Go over to a person. You know, how old are you? 40, 50, 60. Tell me, in the 50 years of your life, which can you try to remember? I'll give you 5 minutes. Try to think, in the 50, 60 years of your life, which was the happiest day of your life? The happiest day of your life. You may say it's your bar mitzvah. You may say it's your chasana. You may say love. Maybe the day that your first child was born. People have different things. What's the happiest day of your life? Maybe the day you won the lottery. Maybe that's the happiest day of your life. Rav Sol Salanta would say the day that he lost his money, because he didn't want to have any money. That's the happiest. That was Rav Sol Salanta. So they asked the Chosid, what is the happiest, when was the happiest day of your life? Look what he answered. Omaloi. The Chosid answered as follows. The happiest day of my life, he says, Yoim Shohayisi. Now the Rambam brings this, you have to realize this. Yoim Shohayisi Hoyle Besin. I was once on a boat. I went on a boat, Vahoye Mekoimi. They happened to assign me a very bad seat. You know, people go on a plane to someplace, you know, and they are always busy with seats. He says, I was on a boat, and he gave me, says, the worst seat possible. Somewhere low, below deck, who knows where, somewhere, you know, no air, no nothing, you know, no darkness, dark, no, nothing. I had the lowest seat. He said, Bepocheshe Bemekoimis Ben Chavilas Abgadim. He says, you know, the cargo section. Chavilas Abgadim. So that's where they stashed me away. So that's where I was sitting. I was confined to such a spot, under the clothing. And there were rich people there. He says, I was not one of them. So you had rich, influential people around the boat. They had, you know, first class seats and so on. And I was lying in my spot, doing nothing. I wasn't bothering anybody. You know what happened? The echod ma'ansha asfine kom lahashtin. It's embarrassing to say. And one of the people had to go to the bathroom, and he went to the bathroom on top of me. You hear this? The echod ma'ansha asfine kom lahashtin. The ehi nekobem. In his eyes, I was so low in his eyes. I mean, this person was so arrogant, so haughty. You know, some rich person. He sees me sitting, you know, in the lowest spot on the boat. So he thinks, I'm a nothing. So he thinks, I'm a nothing. He treated me like a nothing. Less than a nothing. What he did was, I was wondering, how could a person do this to another person? V'chai Hashem. He says, I swear. This is the Lashon he says. V'chai Hashem. L'ko'avi nafshi l'maseyu klal. I didn't bear him any ill, and I had a tremendous simcha that I reached the madrege, I reached that level that it should not bother me. Talmud Devar. This is exactly what the Talmud Devar is talking about. Rambam brings it. He says, and I didn't have anything against him. The ein sofik shezois tachle shiflas ruach. So the Rambam, that's what shifla. When it says moed moed heavy shval ruach means shval, the lowest you can go. The lowest is to come to a point where someone would do even something like that. He says, and you know what? You just disregard it totally. Achi sarachik min hagayve. And this is amazing, madreges. It's so far from where we are standing that this is like impossible. Seems like, but this is that here we had it here. Rabbi Yankiv Emden, we had it, right? Which is not so long ago, relatively speaking. And then you have the Rambam, of course, bringing it from one of the Chassidim, from one of the Sfarim in Sefer Hamidus. So these are not just theoretical things, but we have here on record of great people, of how far they came to be koine, to acquire the Midah of Anivis. And just finally, I want to mention this one akud here, number four we're going to mention. Number four we have here, and this is a quote from two places. This is a quote, first of all, the Maral had a brother who wrote a Sefer called Sefer HaChaim. Also the Chidor, who wrote a Sefer Choymes Anoch. So they bring the following words. Mishuhu Onof, a person who has humility, a person with an Onof, a person who has humility, im nigzar shiyemusu bonov me'eze sibe. If Chas v'Shalom there's a gzera that he should lose one of his children. So he says, v'yichyu bonov biglal anuvosoi. If a person is a non-of, he can have that gzeira rescinded and have his children live. So the Maral's brother and the Chidor bring down that the efshesh zeu asmichus, maybe this is the posuk in Parshas Noach. Remember the posuk which Ela told us Noach. Noach is tzaddik. Tomim hoy bederoisav. So he says as follows: Ela told us Noach. In other words, Amosai Ela told us miskaimim. Ela told us Noach. What is the schus that you told us that your children remain alive? You know what the answer is? It says twice Noach. Ela told us Noach. Noach. Noach means Noach leshamayim veNoach lebrius. It's your human behavior, your human conduct, is the way you act towards other people. When a person is a Noach lebrius, when a person is mevatel himself for other people, when this is your behavior, this is the hanhog of the Yid. So Ela told us Noach, the way to be zoiche, that he told us of Noach, have a kiyum, Noach again, it says. But that means Noach, Noach leshamayim and Noach lebrius. One of the great people of all time, there were two brothers. Probably the greatest set of brothers that you can imagine. And that was the Rebbe Reb Shmelke of Nicholsburg and his brother, the Pinchas Halevi Ish Horowitz, the Haflor. The Haflor, you know, was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer. The Rebbe Reb Shmelke and the Haflor, who lived in the 1700s, they were Talmidim of the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid, of course, was the successor of the Baal Shem Tov. when the Rebbe Shmelke was accepted to become the Rav of Nicholsburg, and this is brought down in a sefer called Amira Yofa, when the Rebbe Shmelke was accepted, comes out that the whole town, this is the way it used to be, when a Rav was accepted in a city, right, in the towns of Europe, this is the way it used to be, the day that the Rav arrived, the first day, the whole city would come out to be Mekabel Ponim. It would be Kovid Malachim. It was royalty. Men, women dressed in their best clothing, children would stand outside waiting to be Mekabel Ponim with all of the Kovid, as one can imagine, Kovid HaTorah. In many cases, they would take out the Sefer Torahs from the shuls and come and be mekabel ponim, and go towards, against, to be mekabel, to receive the Rav, the newly elected Rav that is coming to town. When Rebbe Shmuelke came into town, and you had there thousands of people standing, waiting to be mekabel ponim, to greet him, to give him Shalom Aleichem, they would bend down, they would kiss his hand, and so on and so forth, just trying to touch him, just trying to get close. He was one of the greatest people. So it was Yidua that when he arrived, for somehow he disappeared, and you couldn't get to him. And he was in his room, and refused to come out. It turns out that a number of people were standing behind the door, trying to figure out, what is he doing in his private room? It was the day of the Kabbalah Sponin. What is he doing there? And he hears something interesting. How he's saying to himself, he's talking to himself, and he says, Shalom Aleichem to you, Mareinu V'Rabeinu. He's giving himself honor. He says, Shalom Aleichem, he says, Mareinu V'Rabeinu. Yechi Adoineinu, he says, Mareinu V'Rabeinu, Baruchim Haboyim, the great tzaddik. Because all of the accolades and all of the praises that people would give you, he was doing it to himself. He realized that there's people outside, and he opens the door. And so they asked him, he says, what is going on? So he says like this. He says, when you are the product or the subject of a lot of COVID, well, we just learned the term of the virus. He didn't quote the term of the virus, but we just learned. There is a danger that this becomes a habit. It's easy to like honor. It doesn't take much to learn it. And this becomes a habit, and once it becomes a habit, it's very difficult to get rid of. So he says, one thing is clear. Honor is only important when other people give you honor. Do you ever see a person standing in front of a mirror, he's looking at himself, and he says, oh, how beautiful I am, how smart I am. He can say that for 24 hours a day, but he doesn't get much pleasure out of that. You get pleasure if 5 minutes somebody says it to you, you have pleasure. But you can say it to yourself 24 hours a day, it doesn't mean much. The covet that you give yourself doesn't carry much weight. Covet, in the eyes of people, is when other people give it to you. Now, Perkei Avos says the following lashon, and he interpreted it the other way around. It says, "Yehi kevod chavercha chaviv alecha kishalach." Now, normally it means the dignity of your friend, right, should be important to you as your own. In other words, in the same way that a person is very careful, right, about his own covet, you should also respect others as well. So he said, and he turned it around. He said, "Yehi kevod chavercha." The covet that your chaver gives you should be kishalach, like the covet you give yourself. In the same way that when you give yourself covet, it's meaningless, the covet that your chaver gives you should also be meaningless. And therefore, he says, I was practicing giving myself covet. He says, how great I am, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe, Ruchim Aboim, the great tzaddik. And I was saying to myself, he says, all of these great things, realizing how ridiculous it is, the covet that I'm giving myself. And that, in that same way, my attitude should be now to all of the covet that all the others are trying to give me. It's an interesting thing that this was the Rebbe Shmuelke. And here you have his brother, the Haflo, who came to Frankfurt. And by the way, in Frankfurt, before the Haflo, was one of the great Gedolim. Frankfurt, by the way, was one of the most distinguished rabbinical communities of all time, going back years ago. The history of the Jewish community in Frankfurt goes back about a thousand years. And throughout the years, you had the greatest Rabbonim of all time. The Shlach HaKodesh was also a Rav in Frankfurt. He was also in Prague later. Ultimately, he went there to Yisrael. So you had the Shlach HaKodesh. You had the Pnei Yeshua, who was Rav in Frankfurt. You had Rav Avraham Breide, who was Rav in Frankfurt. You had the Messiah Hashas, which is, of course, in every Gemara, was a Rav in Frankfurt, and so on and so forth. Literally, the greatest Rabbonim. Rav Nos Nadler, of course, lived in Frankfurt. So the greatest Gedolei Yisrael lived in Frankfurt. It was he by the name of Rav Abishal Frankfurter, was his name. And when he was nifter, when he passed away, so the Haflo was offered the position, and the Haflo asked his Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezrich, you know, to come from Poland to go to Germany, which is a totally different culture. And he said, no, you have a lot to contribute, you go. And the Haflo goes there, and there's a sefer called Eish Tomit. And the sefer Eish Tomit describes, and he says that when Haflo came to Frankfurt, and here again, the whole community came out to welcome him, like we mentioned before, and they covered a chariot, a wagon, in which to carry him, literally with gold. They bedecked and they covered it literally with gold in order to present him and to bring him in with the greatest honors as possible. And instead of having the wagon being pulled by horses, it was pulled by people, prominent people, deemed it a schus and a privilege to be able to carry and to pull the carriage. and you had all the thousands of people, you know, escorting the carriage and the wagon, and all of a sudden they notice that he is in there and he's crying. The Aflah is in there, he's crying, he's sitting in the wagon amidst all this honor and all the fanfare, and the Aflah there is crying. And they said, Rabbi, he says, why are you crying? One of the Rosh HaAkilah said to him, says, don't you see this great Kabbalah sponin, tremendous honor in your schus? So he says, the fact that I am being carried and I'm not walking on my own 2 feet, people are carrying me, reminds me of the day when I leave this world at a funeral. Isn't that what happens at a funeral? At a funeral, the casket is carried, and you have sometimes hundreds of people. If you're an important person, you have hundreds of people. To me, this is like a funeral, he says. I look at it, he says, as a funeral. And this is what I'm being reminded of. He says, I want to ask you something. When anybody else passes away, do they really get such a funeral? He said, the way that you're giving me here? This was his attitude, the kind of kovet. This is the idea of being bereach min hakovet, instead of taking it all in and savoring every bit of this kovet, all of the honor. This was the Gedolei Yisrael, this was the hanhogim, this was the practice of all of the great people. What I just want to mention to you, and I'm going to conclude this, the time is really short on us, but I just want to mention this following thing, and that is as follows. Chassam Sofer, I don't know if many of you will realize that he married three times. His wives passed away, and he married again, and then he married again. In the year 1812, Chassam Sofer lost a wife. In the year 1812. And by the way, he mentions it in the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, Chelek Yeredeya, in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel. And he gave a tremendous hesped, tremendous eulogy. He writes about what kind of a tzedekah she was, and all the koyach that she gave in order that he should be able to grow. He gave her a lot of the credit of what he amounted to, the Chassam Sofer, to his wife. After the shiva and so on and so forth, after time passed, many shiduchim were proposed for the Chassam Sofer. And who would not want to become connected with the family of the Chassam Sofer? So many shiduchim were proposed. Different kinds. Wealthy people, prominent people, everybody tried to be in the running to become connected and maybe have his sister, have a member of his family, become the new wife of the Chassam Sofer. And in fact, there was a yid by the name of Reb Meir Leitersdorf, who was a rich person. He had a bat yechida, he had a daughter, which was his only daughter, one daughter. She had a lot of milus and so on and so forth, and he would give all of the money in the world that the Chassam Sofer becomes his son-in-law. He would give everything. What happened was, just at that time, and it might have happened, Chassam Sofer might have accepted that shidduch, but just at that time, it turns out that a letter arrives from Rabbi Kiv Eiger, knew the Chassam Sofer, even though they were quite distances apart. Who didn't know of the Chassam Sofer and who didn't know about Rabbi Kiv Eiger? The two Gedolei Hador, the two greatest people. A letter comes from Rabbi Kiv Eiger, and Rabbi Kiv Eiger writes, I have bad news to tell you. Says, my son-in-law, Rabbi Avraham Moshe, Kiv Eiger's son-in-law, Rabbi Avraham Moshe, just passed away. Leaving over my daughter, of course, an almona. She needs a shidduch. I know that you, Chassam Sofer, he says, you have a lot of connections. Maybe you'll know of someone who might be a suitable son-in-law to marry my daughter. Chassam Sofer had this letter and request from the Kiv Eiger. The Kiv Eiger is looking for a son-in-law. He gave the letter over to the Reish Bezin of Presburg, whose name was Rabbi Daniel Prustitz. Daniel Prusnitz, his caver, by the way, you can find it today in Presburg. You'll find it mamish next to the cave of the Chassam Sofer. He was a Reish Bezin, and he was like the closest person to the Chassam Sofer. He was the Reish Bezin in Presburg, and he gives it to him as if to say, I'm making you a shliach, you know, try to find a son-in-law for the Kiv Eiger. As soon as Daniel sees it, flash, how about the Chassam Sofer himself? He should become the son-in-law of Kiv Eiger. And so the story goes, he writes back, Rabbi Daniel writes back to Rabbi Kiv Eiger and says, I have an excellent son-in-law for you. He said, the Chassam Sofer himself. He should be the Chassam Sofer. And in fact, as the shidduch was proposed, they get together to talk before anything. Chassam Sofer trusted Rabbi Kiv Eiger, he says, and he says to him, I want you to tell me something about your daughter. Being proposed, tell me. And I know, even though that you're the father, usually father, you can't trust the father about his own daughter, but Rabbi Kiv Eiger says, whatever you say, I know you're not going to veer from the truth. And Rabbi Kiv Eiger goes on to tell him the tzitkis and the milus and the midos, he says, of his daughter. Rabbi Kager says, but I have to admit one thing to you. I have to tell you the whole truth. My daughter has a tremendous tzedakis, and she has all of the milas and the midis in the world. However, he says, there's one problem, There's one problem that stands in the way of the shidduch, There's one problem. And that is, the Gemara says that a person should try to marry a bas talmud chacham. My daughter is not a bas talmud chacham. I'm not a talmud chacham. He says, I have to admit that fault. So some sofer says to Rikivega, listen, the milas that you said about your daughter, even though you're the father, I believe it more than 100 witnesses coming from you. The chelik that you're not a talmud chacham, he says, I'll take that responsibility. And now the some sofer says, I also have to admit something to you. The Gemara says that one should seek for his daughter a talmud chacham. I have to admit to you, I'm not a talmud chacham either. So it turns out that both really said they deserve each other. The shidduch happened, and this again, here is the attitude of two gedolei Yisrael, two greatest gedolei Yisrael, but the madrega vanivis, as we find that they excelled in that area. So this is the avodah that, of course, we have something to look forward to try to inch our way a little bit, ma'at, a little bit more, and bez Hashem, habol etayer, messiah noisoi, we should have a tzoch.